You all have the handout in front of you, so we'll just tell you which page number we're on.
Okay, sure. For slide two. So for today's sessions, we have three main objectives. First, we are seeking to define what sensitive information is. We are trying to figure out if there is any common ground in terms of the understanding between users and preparers in terms of the characteristics that define sensitive information, or does that definition depend on the facts and circumstances? Second, of this sensitive information, what do investors need to be disclosed and why? So do preparers have concerns with the disclosure of such information? And also if there is any common ground between investors and preparers about the kind of disclosure that should be required. On the third point, where there isn't any common ground, what will your advice be to the board as to how it can go about balancing the needs of investors and the concerns that preparers have? On slide three, the reason that we are bringing up this issue in relation to the disclosure of sensitive information at this point in time is because the board is currently undertaking various projects which focus on financial statements disclosures. And during our outreach for these various projects, it wasn't uncommon that preparers have raised concerns relating to the sensitivity of information that are proposed under those disclosures. Some of the potential sources of sensitive information from the board's existing projects are shown on the slides. The staff has also, in March this year, presented a similar presentation to the IFRS Advisory Council, and some of the feedback from that meeting is provided in Appendix A to this deck of slides. And also, just to clarify, the board is not considering to develop any particular standards specifically targeted at sensitive information at this point in time. And the purpose of this joint meeting is to help facilitate the board's thought process when it's met with such scenarios in standard setting process in the future. So moving on to slide six. The purpose of this discussion by sensitive information, we are referring to the kind of information whose disclosure might result in commercial loss to entities making such disclosures. And it is also intended to exclude the risk of shareholders' litigation. To help with the discussion on the first and second objective about the common characteristic of sensitive information, as well as the types of information that investors might be interested in, we have compiled some examples of disclosures and their perceived effects on slides 14 to 18. These examples are based on the feedbacks that we have and with preparers, as well as some of the issues that we have heard over the years on a variety of projects.
Actually, many of those examples may look familiar to the GPF members. A number of you had participated in calls that we had to help prepare these slides, so thank you for that feedback, and it'll help facilitate the breakout sessions later to have your input on that.
So on slide 20, the third objective of how disclosure requirements can balance the need of users and preparers, we have identified four possible approaches on slides 20 and 24 as the possible ways to move forward. Appendix B to the slides includes some extracts from the basis for conclusion for these various standards for your reference. So for the first approach is not to accommodate for sensitivity of information. The issue is that any exemption provided in a standard could potentially be interpreted as the basis for broad-based non-compliance with IFRS standards, especially given the fact that different stakeholders might have different understandings as to what sensitive information is. And this might not be what we are hoping for. On the second approach on slide 21, that is to adopt a comply or explain approach for certain disclosure items. This may create an incentive for entities to make the necessary disclosures if the cost is deemed acceptable, or the entity may risk being penalized by the market if the explanation for not providing such information is deemed unsatisfactory. The downside of this approach is that consistent application of the approach might be difficult to achieve, particularly when the entities are operating in very different market environments and regulatory environments. On slide 22, which is a slight variation of the second approach, it's a comply or explain model with some constraints involved. This approach provides a temporary disclosure exemption where the sensitivity of the information is time-limited and provided that certain conditions are being met. This approach can provide regulators and auditors with the tools to avoid abuse. However, there may be difficulties in identifying the proper set of conditions, again, given the fact-specific nature of most sensitive information. The third possible approach is on slide 23, which is to meet the disclosure objectives by providing the necessary information through inference to other less sensitive information wherever it is possible. However, such a compromise might not always be achievable. On slide 24 is the fourth and last approach, which is to make the disclosure of sensitive information voluntary and let the market penalize poor disclosures. The effectiveness of this approach will, of course, then be dependent on how well the market mechanism functions in the particular jurisdiction. There may be other approaches as well, and we will be interested to hear members' input in this regard. So finally, on slide 26, these are the questions that we would like to seek members' input on. We will be happy to answer any question before breaking out to the breakout session.
So maybe just a clarification question, because I think in terms of the kind of four or 2A and 2B, so literally five options set out in slides 20 onwards, I'm a little bit confused by, I kind of see one and four as the extreme, just setting out the parameters of what possible and probably not likely solutions. And then that leaves us with kind of two and three. And with two, I'm trying to understand what the logic is, because my feeling is that the issue with sensitive disclosures isn't a cost issue of preparing the information. That information is already available for management. It's about the disclosure of it. So I'm not sure why we're raising the issue of cost as a reason not to make the disclosure. Is that, have I misunderstood something? Or?
So I think with that one, when we think about cost, we didn't mean so much cost of actually providing the disclosure. It's more the commercial loss consequence of providing the disclosure. So if in this situation, if a company determines that for their fact pattern, the commercial loss or that risk exceeds the benefits of providing the disclosure, then they could do a compare explain approach. So that's something that we have, for example, with litigation right now, where a company can follow the disclosure requirements, or they can say, well, there is a prejudicial consequence for us, and these are the disclosures that we're not providing.
Maybe I can just add directly, there is a cost, because if you increase litigation disclosures, you're absorbing a lot of internal time with your own management, senior management, and your own legal department. Often you're getting outside legal counsel involved as well, and it takes quite a bit of time. So
there's a
financial. In the global scheme of things, it's not huge numbers, but it's not for free. Your basic point is right, the information exists internally, but when you actually process it for publication in a regulated environment, you immediately attract a whole load of costs.
To add to that point, actually, I would even state that when we come to the goodwill discussion, there are actually quite a number of costs for some of the things which are discussed here, where you wonder a little bit around, is this just a theoretic discussion? To produce what is called a sensitive information.
I think that'll be good feedback for the breakout sessions.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions on clarity? Not on. No? I think we are 10 minutes ahead, so I would.
I would like to ask only one question. I know that I participated in the conference call relating to the slides 14 to 18. The concerns are, as far as I remember what we mentioned as preparer, the counter-argument, who did it, who was preparing those counter-arguments?
Yeah.
I think that's a discussion we should have in the breakout sessions.
Okay.
And what are the topics?
Yeah. I mean, if you just mean who's the source of that counter-information, that was through staff analysis. So we were thinking about feedback that we've received over the years, as well as our own experience and research.
Okay. Thank you.
Is it about the understanding of
yes.
this? Okay.
I have a question about approach 2B, because it says here that an audit committee or board of directors could be required to take explicit responsibility for non-disclosure. Does this mean that it could be a requirement that audit committee should take this explicit responsibility, or is an observation that this might happen in case approach 2B is adopted?
So when we drafted the slides, we were thinking of it in terms of a requirement. but we are, these are just ideas that we're throwing out there, so please feel free if you have observations or suggestions of different approaches, that would be helpful.
Ask, is there a reason for the asymmetry
in the sense that we talk about commercial loss and we define sensitive information as related to negative news? Is there a reason why we limit this to negative news?
No, and in fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, our intention was not to limit it to negative news. I think it's a little bit easier to think about it in terms of negative news, but there is also the idea of the positive news, and perhaps one of the ideas that we wanted to get at was there's a risk of the positive news, you might have, one might have an incentive to release more of that and hold back the negative news. So it's not an intentional.
I would think that if you read some of the literature on this, that there's more incentive to disclose negative news, depending on the litigious environment that you operate in.
That's a very good point, and I think that's great for the breakout sessions.
Okay. Still 10 minutes ahead. I would propose that we then have this 15 minutes coffee break, and then we're starting the breakout groups then at 11:10, which then you should make your way to the breakout groups at 11:05, and you should all have this kind of information to which breakout groups you are allocated. And we have four groups, and group one is meeting in the library. Group two here in the boardroom, group three in the Thames room, and group four in the Amazon room. Thames and Amazon room, this floor on the left side, and the library is in the closed session, so you need, is in just behind the reception, so you have to wait that maybe the chair or April or somebody will let you in then. But the rest is freely accessible and is on the left side on this floor. Enjoy your coffee break.